Broccoli?
Present.
Ron Moosman?
Present.
Rob Lower?
Here.
Crystal Walter? Diana Pagan?
Present.
Arthur Kim? Ryan Russell?
Here.
Jennifer Cunningham?
Present.
Abby Huff?
Here.
Okay, we have people in our calling audience. Oh, the public here, if you'd like to go around and introduce yourself, and if you're here for a certain item.
I'm Leland Hager, I'm the housing rehab specialist for the city of Rapids, and I'm here for the 1622 3rd Avenue Southeast. If you have any questions, you're here right now.
Okay.
Cindy Hannish with Save the Sierra Heritage.
Bob Grafton with Wellington Heights Neighborhood Association.
It's time for public comment. If anyone of you have a public comment, you have up to 5 minutes. Listen. You were here for 1622?
Yes.
Just taking order then, since that's our first one.
Sure.
Oh, we can approve minutes. I'm sorry. Has everybody had a chance to look at the minutes? And if so, are there any changes that need to be made?
I move to approve the minutes.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And has everyone had a chance to look at the complete agenda? Does anyone need to recuse themselves from anything on the agenda? Okay. We move to action item 3A, certificate of appropriateness 1622 3rd Avenue Southeast. I'm not sure how to say that. Soffit and Fassier replacement.
So, want to go over this is a project that was submitted for the city's comprehensive rehab program. And Lee here in my department will correct me or also answer any specific questions as we go through this. But and maybe Lee, can you give just a brief description about the purpose of the program?
Comprehensive rehab program. Basically, we cover any lead-based paint issues within a house or code issues or safety issues within a house. Try to bring them up to standards to keep the people and within their house, and it's all done on a income-based middle to lower income families and what have you. With this particular project, this is a nuisance house. That they got a nuisance complaint on and stuff, so we're trying to address any of the nuisance stuff with the house also.
Thank you. So, the reason why this is on the agenda, so we get these often enough, and usually they're CNMEs. However, in this case, so the project, some of the things are being replaced, the soffits and the fascia. The handout that Lee provided, you can see in areas where that soffit and fascia is definitely needs to be replaced. There is currently a combination of aluminum and wood. So typically you would do this in aluminum. However, the design guidelines do specify that these materials should be wood. So this is just a shot of location. 3rd Ave. So I provided lesser quality photos, obviously. Well, what you have there shows you a lot of images of the house and the condition of it. And then from the design guidelines, this is what's in there. And again, it says that soffit fascia trim boards and details should be maintained by painting and proper gutter functioning. Obviously, when you can't do that, then you have to go to replacement. And then the following bullet, it does say that they should be should match the originals. And then if you look at not appropriate, the second bullet says that synthetic materials such as aluminum and plastic are not appropriate. So based on the design guidelines, we would recommend denial of the COA as requested. And approval only if wood is used. Obviously, no, this is, you know, up to the commission to decide whether or not to consider the staff recommendation. And with that, any questions of either general questions to myself or obviously the more detailed from Lee, we'd be happy to answer those.
So we're just talking soffits and fascia.
Soffits and fascia.
No siding.
Correct.
Are you doing the gutters too?
The only thing on the gutters is the downspout extension. There's all that they have done on the gutters.
From these pictures, what's falling off, that's aluminum, right?
Correct.
Can I ask what kind of nuisance is this?
It's the painting and the gutters, or the painting and the...
So it's not crime, it's drugs or anything?
No, absolutely not.
Applicant's Denise, right?
Yes.
Does she live in the property?
Yes, she does. Her and her son.
Did they get multiple bids as far as wood versus aluminum?
We will be we haven't gotten that up far yet. We actually have to submit it to the state preservation of historic office before we do that, and then after that, then we put it up for a bidding process, and it has to be bid by 3 different contractors.
Do you know if Denise was the one that put the metal up there?
I do not.
Does anyone have any questions?
It'd be nice to know how expensive the difference would be between aluminum and wood, just to see if it would cost by far.
The problem that we have as far as that goes is we don't know what the condition underneath the metal is, what that wood is. There is a picture there of one of the pieces out of there. So we don't know until that metal gets taken down what that difference would be.
Since the property is contributing and eligible, I think we should stick with staff recommendations to.
I agree.
Is that a motion?
It could be a motion, yes.
I'd just like to say one thing first before we do that. If you were to take the site of the metal that's up there now and that wasn't totally destroyed underneath, they'd qualify for the application. They could apply for the, what do I forget,
the
grant process?
Yes.
Would she be willing, if it wasn't in total disrepair, to apply for a grant to keep it wood and refinish what's there underneath?
I don't. I can't talk for her, but I know that she just wants it done.
A lot of times they cover these up just because it's easier than scraping.
Exactly.
But if she doesn't have wood rot, or if there's just pieces of the wood rot, she could actually put it back to its natural.
Correct. And that's usually what we do whenever we get into a historic thing. The way that we write it is we write like for like material. And that's why we're here, because the like for like material is the aluminum.
Is she aware of the grant process?
Yes, she is. I'm interested in that.
She seem interested at all?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm thinking if we could get it back to even the more historical with the wood that's underneath, if it's not so decomposed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's just the corners on those that are bad that can be smoothed in. So I don't know how you want to. I would like to see it go back to the natural if she's willing to apply for the grant and handle paint or scrape and paint, providing that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, then I fall back on Ron's motion. So how would we go about doing that? Have a double motion. I'm for taking things back to this room and get it. And in some cases, in the picture that I'm looking at, this one, it just looks like chipped paint. Now that might just be a good area. I don't know. You will know better when you get it off. But if she could apply for the grant, I'm sure that money would go a long ways, Ron.
If we're going to go with wood only, they're probably going to take the aluminum off, right?
Correct.
And
now there is an addition on the back that you cannot see from the street currently that does have aluminum, and it did not have original wood on it at all. So.
And it's not original to the house?
No.
And it's not visible. I would think in the end it's not going to be a combination of wood and leftover aluminum. You're going to do it right to
it
the end.
It would be one of, yeah. If you look at the pictures, the very top fascia board is softened on the top elbow. It's wood. And then the main second story is aluminum. And then around the porch is wood. And that's the way it's written up, is to do like the light. But if what your recommendation is to take that back to wood, you would take back the original wood around that main area.
I think that makes the most sense to me. Taking it back to wood.
And I don't know if we need a motion on the grant. We just make a recommendation that she look into applying for a grant. It's obviously qualifies for at least applying.
I know I'm not a builder, but can you replace wood directly over the wood that's underneath that she didn't want to paint? Providing there was no structural damage, that would have to be fixed first.
Yeah,
we can
match that wood. And if, depending on the condition of the wood underneath that, if we have to, we can blend that in and match that and stuff to where we're not taking all the wood off.
If we pass a motion to do wood, except for the addition, which I don't think that really is that important, but you can't see it. We deal mainly with what you can see from the street. If we were to pass to replace with wood, can you pass on to her that if it doesn't need replacing, it just needs mending and painting, that she can qualify for, I don't know, the amount is $5,000?
Up to seven?
Yeah, $7,500.
Yeah. That would go a long ways to replacing what's there.
Oh,
for
absolutely.
And then she's getting it back to the original.
Yeah, and I can revise the scope of work to say that too.
So do we want to make Ron's motion but put in what I just added as far as we would like to see it be back to original if it's not so decomposed that that can't be done. And even if it is decomposed, you're going to be replacing it anyway. I've got a garage, I have to do the exact same thing, and I have to replace it all.
Mm-hmm.
And we were looking at that. We haven't got a permit yet. I haven't done it yet. We just tore the gutters off because they're falling off. But, you know, we were looking at vented things, wood vented things. So I'm kind of in the same place, so it would be interesting to see you.
So,
do you have
second
a second?
I think we just
to
be clear on the, yeah, on the motion.
Can you repeat your motion, and then could you add, or do you want me to add after? I think you could just do it all, couldn't you?
Yeah. I think make a motion that we go with staff recommendation that they use wood for the soffit and fascia, and where they need to replace some of the aluminum that they blend in with wood as it was originally. And do you want the grant? We can't put the grant thing in there.
No, but you might want to put in the back part.
Aluminum
for the back.
And
aluminum
in the back addition that wasn't original and not visible from the street could be made.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Close. So if no, you will do, we're going to go wood for wood.
Yep.
But if you could pass on to her a concern that if she could make it to be, you know, some of this just looks like it needs paint.
You bet.
Save money.
Yeah, majority of that's all with the one that's changed. Breaking the paint.
You don't need a permit for that, so.
Yeah.
Can't use paint. Actually, you can use any color you want. So he'll get in touch with you then.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for coming.
Thank
in.
You,
I
Lee. Appreciate it.
You bet. No problem. And thank you for all the pictures. That was a big help.
You bet.
Move to action item 3B, section 106 review, followed by 3rd Street Southeast Telecommunications Facility Installation.
Okay, so you might know the building. So the red, you'll see a red circle, so you have 9th running here at the railroad tracks, 3rd Street on the far right, and this is south side, and see that red circle there is the communications equipment that is being replaced. There is also some on the 9th Avenue side as well.
Adam?
Yes.
I've been on this board for a little over 7 years, and this is the third one of these. Why are we having so many all at once?
I really don't know. So I happened to, I caught a presentation about Section 106 and the FCC, Federal Communications
Commission,
thank you. And I saw that, and I was like, great. And it talked about co-location and how that sometimes you don't need Section 106 review with co-location. And then like a week later, these all just started it. So
I was looking through here, and having been in telecommunications, it's an upgrade to the existing antennas to handle the new 5G coming out. So it's a little bit of proactiveness, and so it's just that the older antennas won't support the newer.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's good. So there's a bunch of images in this. The one thing to point out, because this is often a question that I've not seen on these plans before, is they're right at the very top, so the new will not be any higher than what's there. So I thought that was kind of nice. I'd look for it, but I saw it. And they're also, and I apologize, it should be clear on the paper copy, but it does talk about how there's nothing structurally being done to the building. So
I think the last one of these that came out, didn't we kind of discuss it? They could blend into the building more. Did you guys find anything out on that? Or?
So the first one, which was on like a block behind the Alliant building, the consultant thought that should be no issue. The one we had, I think it was the last meeting, I have not heard back yet.
I would go ahead.
So that's all I had on that.
I would pretty much, if we're going to get a lot of these, I imagine we'll run out because downtown's not that big, that we just kind of have a standard protocol for mm-hmm. said the same thing. Make sure that they don't structurally harm, especially if it's historically significant. Like I know the IE Tower wasn't yet,
mm-hmm.
What did we say, Abby, 2 years?
Like, yeah, a couple of years.
Then it'll be over 50 years old. I have to do all the math because mine's. are we voting or just giving our opinions?
No, and so what I'll pass on to them is you would recommend painting any of the equipment to match what's there, the colors that are there, and also anything that is mounted that you use grout lines as much as possible, or anything that won't structurally harm the building.
Can you throw the word camouflage in there as well? Well, there's screens you can put up.
I can definitely add that.
To
yep.
put camouflage as a way, if possible,
mm-hmm.
like, as far as screens that still let frequencies through, yes, Ron?
I just want to make a comment that since we're kind of replacing in-kind with in-kind, that it's probably not necessarily a big deal, but if it comes to be a new one that creates an adverse effect to the building, then I think we have a different choice to make, and or at least mm-hmm. more discussion on it. But at this one, if we're just
mm-hmm.
doing in-kind stuff, it's not so much.
Okay.
The other thing I'll add, too, is I've asked the last two, and I'll ask this one again. They do submit this to SHPO, so I'll ask them to share whatever SHPO's comments are on this is also.
Are there any other questions in regard to this high-tech equipment? 5G?
Yeah, I just wonder what the radiation... I still wonder on the putting them in public, but anyway, I'll keep saying. Comments to myself.
So that's all you need from us?
Yes, yep, thank you.
We'll move to section... Item 3C, demolition review. First one would be 1416 4th Avenue Southeast.
All right, so this is a two-story house built in 1903. It was surveyed in 94 and considered eligible for National Register listing. The condition was below normal when the assessor looked at it, and more recently it was damaged by a fire. So here's a picture of the house.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to see, but you can see there's not a ton, but a good amount of fire damage. So because of the fire damage, the city is recommending immediate release of the application. Happy to answer questions.
Any questions?
I haven't come across fire since I've been on the commission. Is it irredeemable when that happens?
Not necessarily. It depends on the damage. I did talk to Mark Stoker Cook, or wrong Mark, sorry. Mark Stoker Hunter. He would like to put a hold on this. He needs photos, even though it's burnt, and he's concerned because it is eligible for landmarking that it could possibly be a
stop.
A rehab. But his main reason would be for photo documentation.
Well, so criteria D, but it also sounds, I mean, if since it was eligible, I'm just wondering if we can maybe look at what category it was considered eligible for.
There wasn't. It wasn't listed.
It could yield. It could yield.
So letter C.
C.
Yeah, okay. D, sorry.
There wasn't any information on whether the fire caused any structural damage inside. Was it inside?
So it should be, if there was actual damage that was, you know, to the structure where it was considered unsafe, we wouldn't even be here.
Yeah,
this would have been this would have been a notice and order by building services. So
who's applying for the demo? The owner?
It's ANI, Affordable Housing Network.
And do we know what they're planning on putting in?
I mean, they do affordable housing, so I imagine
I would just remind that the decision shouldn't.
This is in the district, though, isn't it?
No.
No.
Yep. If it's in the district, we have every right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yep.
Are there any questions? So I can't make the motion.
Motion to hold, put a 60-day hold on it. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that was for criteria C, correct?
Yeah, it was D. I did the math wrong.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
And then once Mark gets what he needs, he'll let either Adam or I know, and then we'll release it early or hold on. Okay. 3C2601, 8th Avenue Southeast Commercial Building.
Right, so as you mentioned, this is a commercial building built in 1968. So, is that correct? Did I answer it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is 68. Okay. And the condition is above normal. Here's a photograph of the building. You might recognize it on 8th Avenue.
Office, right?
Oh.
Social Security office, too.
Here's another angle. We're recommending immediate release on this application. We don't have evidence of historic significance, and it's a poor candidate for local landmarking.
And before I throw out any questions, Mark is okay for this being released, but he's still asking questions. What year was that built?
68.
And it looks like it.
Yeah, it does. It's not my favorite.
This was a rough period, I think.
Yeah.
Has it been, he recommended immediate release, but has it been documented?
I don't know. He just said he's okay with that one being released. So.
He doesn't care for it much.
Okay.
He didn't tell me what was on that property prior to this, which wouldn't matter anyway for that.
It's owned by...
Do we care what's a post office? Is that have sentimental value to the public?
I don't know if it was a full post office or if it was like
it was an annex, I think, or a substitute.
And then it became the Social Security Administration office where you go down and get money and stuff like that. Do you have more information?
Well, I would just say with any of these recent past buildings, they should also, receive the same documentation. So I was just wondering if it had been documented. Beyond, I don't know. What does Mark usually do? Take photos and.
Yeah,
well, he usually goes up in this library that he has. Ticket tape comes out of his mouth.
He knows everything about it.
He usually just knows.
It's significant.
But, you're welcome to make some type of a recommendation if you want.
I just want to know what he wants.
So 68, is that the past 50 years then?
Yeah.
Just
early.
Yeah, 69 is the right now is the cutoff.
So at the last meeting we had, I was kind of curious about vinyl siding and when we started to have to look at that.
Oh,
and
funny.
In general, I have a question. We're going to start seeing, you know, buildings of the 1968 nature, which are not necessarily aesthetically pleasing to us. But what do we do as part of our responsibility to the community to start to identify neighborhoods that might be in the 1968 arena and start to think about how that works into our quilt of many colors in the community?
And I brought that up before because
they're
not us, but to our great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was something I was going to talk about in the historical assets meeting. I just couldn't make it this time. So I know it'll be one of the items I'll have for January, but it's just, I don't know, is the answer.
Well, in this case, it's not in a historical district, so the most we can do is a 60-day hold.
Yeah.
Right.
And run the 60-day, but we'd have to have a reason to put it on the 60, which would be Abby's to do.
And just a reminder that it's, you're putting a hold on it for that reason because there is a thought that there might be
something
that would yield important information about Cedar Rapids history or prehistory. So it's not necessarily to photo document it, but that might be the process or through research to find out, you know, if something happened there that fits that category.
Does staff have an idea whether or not they're going to start demolition tomorrow on it or if there's going to be?
I do not know that.
Because lots of times they're not going to do it for a week or two.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
And I know we're not privy with it. We know what's going to happen just because I'm curious.
I don't.
Come on.
No, I would assume, based on where this is, that they're probably, I would guess, they would go to demo it soon, and it's going to be some sort of commercial office because of its location on 8th Avenue.
I would guess the
but that's...
It's in the Med Quarter, right?
No, it's on the other side. It's not in the Med Quarter.
Yeah, but the hospital's...
Right, it's Mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, I would recommend a 60-day hold just for further investigation. I mean, and documentation.
But that's not a criteria if we don't think it's going to yield anything.
It's
or
unknown.
Do we know, and again, and this is a question not so much to the property, but in general, do we know, so governments a lot of times when they let out a contract, they'll get blueprints or drawings from, you know, fairly significant architectural firms. Do we know who those are in the 1960s and so forth?
Can you go back to the picture?
It's just a square building.
So I'm assuming it's been what? Post Office, Social Security Administration. I don't know. Mercy.
Storage, right, currently, I believe.
So how many times, I mean, because the windows look newer, the entrance looks newer. So I'm just thinking from a structural perspective, like how many times has that been gutted and redone?
I think most of the walls
have been
those floating type walls.
Okay. And ceilings probably too.
Like a room like this where they
have a ceiling.
If we did what Abby's suggesting, who does that research to find out?
But if we're doing it only for photos, then it's...
Mark doesn't need photos, so if one of you guys need photos...
I'm close enough that I can get photos.
But that's not what you said for photos. You said something else, Tim.
Well, I mean, if there's not been any research done on it...
And using that category would allow someone to look into that and see.
Are we allowed to call Mark from the meeting? To see if he could give us any of that stuff so we can make a motion one way or the other?
I mean, I think if you're questioning, it sounds like, so from Abby's standpoint, she thinks it'd be good to know, to look in and see if there's anything that would yield information. So, I mean.
So was that a motion?
I mean, I mean, I would say put a 60-day hold on it. We could release it early, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
The document, can help,
right?
Yeah, you know.
To research,
yeah.
Research,
yeah.
Yep.
Research, yeah.
You have that? how she phrased it? Yeah. Write it down. Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
What's the process for getting photo documentation? Do we have to ask the owners?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So do we go for you to you or
we can give you the we can pass on the contact information. It's
awesome.
Probably the contractor.
Okay.
But we can pass it on. And I would just remind everyone that it's still up to the private property owner whether or not they allow you in or to take photos or any of that. But
Abby, do you want to call get a hold of Mark and see if he can get any site or any history on it?
Yeah.
That he would feel it would have any valid validity. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, action item 3, C3, 1107, Bouldering Road, Northeast, Elmcrest Country Club. It's a house.
All right, so this was a late addition to the agenda just because the next HPC meeting is in more than, it's in 3 weeks, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So to hit that 15-day window, we just added this to the agenda. So this is a one-story house on Elmcrest Country Club's property, currently used for storage. Oh, yeah, you can't really see the circle. And it was built in 1963. Here's an image of the house. And another view. Sorry, it's hard to see. We are recommending immediate release. We don't have evidence for historic significance. The Elmcrest Country Club grounds itself was surveyed and found not eligible, and this is a poor candidate for local landmarking.
Can you go back to the picture? Thank you.
Yeah,
1963 is similar.
Okay, just to add information to this, I did talk to Mark. He would like to, I don't think we need a 60-day hold, but he does want to get pictures. So
it does offer a little bit more architecture features as opposed to just the square building. So
we could do it. I mean, we could do a 60-day hold at least, but I think we also do like a 30-day hold too, can't we?
You can pick any number between 1 and 60.
So
17 and a half day hold? I'm just kidding.
Full days only.
All he needs is pictures. He didn't tell me. Let me see what he said.
Is this the one that's visible from Old Marion Road when you come?
When there are
kind
leaves,
of, yeah.
So on the trees,
there's a
yes.
gate that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
It has that 6-6 character.
Okay, he said, I still need to photo 1107 Old Marion Road on Monday.
So we could do a 30-day and then release it next meeting if he gets it done.
Motion to make a 30-day hold on 1107 Old Marion Road Northeast.
I second.
For criterion D, could yield.
No, just for pictures.
Just for pictures.
Well,
no
criteria.
So.
Yeah, it, the only option is to if you have a thought or concern that there could be something there that would yield important information about Cedar Rapids history or prehistory, that is the criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the past, what that's been is the you know the documenting of it to make sure. I think I've always assumed Mark's done a little bit more research
mm-hmm.
into the property, so he's doing that, although it's just been coming out as just to take
photos.
But
yeah.
It's really because there's a thought
I know
that...
When I first started, we could put a hold simply to take pictures to document it.
If you read Chapter 18, it requires that you can only put a hold if it's historically significant. If you guys think it's historically significant, and you're looking at A, B, C, or D as the criteria for that, and so a lot of the times it's D because you're not really sure, but you want to, you know, research, document, whatever. I guess, like, it can't be just, oh, we think maybe we want to take pictures. It kind of has to be, like, we think this will yield information about its historic significance.
What is this, the option where it says it has characters of the time frame and the architecture of the time frame? Isn't that one of them?
C, I think. I think
yeah.
It's A is person, B is event, C is architecture.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it does follow C architecture.
I would agree.
Because it's a very 60s-esque
yep.
Okay. with the way that it's designed, so it could yield more.
Document.
We can add both those there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, C and D.
Okay.
Do we want to revisit Chapter 18 as far as adding E for documentation? Because Mark writes books on these properties, and if we don't have something other than D...
I don't know if there is... This is the National Park Service category, so I don't... I'm not well-versed enough to know if there's another... if there's something after that.
Chapter 18 are our laws.
Right. But
correct,
we're pulling those from
right,
National
yeah,
Register.
I
think photographing can fall under D, but I just think we should be careful about just saying, oh, do we just want to take photos? It's a little bit more than that. You want to find out its historic significance and documenting that as part of that process.
As long as we're staying proactive as far as documenting this for our children. I don't want someone to say, no, you can't hold it for pictures and have it torn down and then we have no pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's what all of our history books are written on, are the pictures. I mean, Mark's got one, three, four books out where he's got, and he's very sad because when they put 380 in, none of those neighborhoods on EI Avenue got documented. So we have no pictures to write anything about. He doesn't want to see that happen. So if it can stay under D, that's fine. But if there's any slippery slope where it might not be able to, then I would revisit making an amendment to Chapter 18 for documentation before torn down, even if it's a 5-day hold.
There you go.
Just so we have it in our history books. So, but if you think D is going to cover it,
I think that's
but
been
again, what
fine
concerns
in the past.
Me is in 10 years, none of us are going to be sitting here. So we have to make sure all this stuff is ironclad. So 10 years from now,
the code word for history is D.
Yeah.
Research for
D.
Potential historic significance.
Yeah.
So I think. Instead of saying photos, we'll just say more research is done and photos is
more photo research.
Which is probably what happened in the past, is that whoever was here at that point in time just said, well, that's a D, and so.
Well, we updated Chapter 18 and then we totally rewrote the guidelines, so that's probably where it got switched over. Because in the past, we did hold it for picture documentation only, so maybe that got pushed aside when we updated 18. I just don't want to see it become something that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you said Elmcrest, the entire country club itself, isn't eligible, was surveyed and isn't eligible for status, right?
Yeah, I believe it was a reconnaissance, yeah.
Okay. So this could be the only remaining property left that was theirs. I mean, what, 44 was found in the country club?
I don't know,
63.
This was the house.
Well, okay, all right, so the house, so that must have been there.
This was all a neighborhood.
Yeah.
But that could have been a later addition of the golf course.
Exactly, yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking is. It might be the only house that was left out of 20 that was sitting down there.
See, because all these streets continue on the other side. So these streets all went through in the early days. I'm speaking out of turn because I don't know that, but I would be guessing. Because every one of them is a dead end.
Yeah.
So that's telling me that that was a neighborhood at one time, and that might be the last structure in that existing neighborhood.
Because I'm assuming it started out as a 9-hole course, and then as it got more popular, it expanded. Yeah. So probably took over whatever neighborhood was sitting back there.
Mm-hmm. And it's the farthest part of the golf course, too, so
yep.
The clubhouse is off the screen, so that would make sense.
So we had a first and a second, I can't remember.
Yes. Pagan, Lauer.
Did I say all in favor?
No.
Mm-mm. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Okay, action item 3D, demolition application on hold. 606 Fifth Avenue Southeast, primary structure. I did talk to Mark. He's still doing research. He would recommend keeping this on hold. If we do that, we don't have to do a vote. We just keep it on hold.
Right.
But are there any questions? Have you done any research?
So there is a potential of moving it. So, yeah, we want to make sure we just keep it on that 60-day.
Mm-hmm.
And so that will come off December 10th.
Okay. Abby, if you know the particulars behind that, if you could push them,
that
would be great.
Cindy is.
Okay, item 4, discussion items, 1403 2nd Avenue Southeast. And he didn't show up, correct?
Correct. So I gave an update at the last meeting, was asked to look into the hole in the roof, kind of what the status is from the city standpoint. So the owner of the property was cited for having a vacant and neglected building not registered with the city. They were given a time period to do that. They failed to do that. They were given another notice, which expired September 30th. As part of that overall notice was also fixing a hole in the roof. And so they missed their last deadline. Now the city's moving forward to go on to initiate the municipal infraction process. So now they'll be taken to court, and that process will go however it goes.
Are we allowed to know what potentially could happen, just for informational purposes?
So what I've been told is that there's paperwork will be filed. At some point this will go to, I think it's mediation first, then a judge. A judge will give, the applicant may ask for a certain amount of time to correct the issue. The judge may do that, may give them more or less. Then there is a due date that's given. The city has to report back on whether or not the property owner met that due date. And if they didn't, the judge has options of, you know, holding in contempt, giving more time, fining. Sometimes none of the, you know, there is the owner's not found in contempt or fined. And so this is the process that just legally can take a long time.
But over the weekend, I went on Bob's Wellington Heights historical walk, and we kind of peeked in all the windows here. And this one we really have to watch because she's right on the verge. That front left, if you're looking at the picture, the right post, that's barely connected anymore. The hole is still in the roof. That's a nice clean hole. It would take nothing to put a piece of plywood in.
Yeah, that was made by the fire department to vent.
It's a nice clean square hole. It would be very easy to put a piece of plywood and some tarp on top of it. Or for that matter, just fix the roof and put the shingles back on. It's a brand new roof, isn't it, Bob? So the roof would be a weekend project for someone who's roofing.
So just because I'm new here, or newer, is it part of city code if it was to become a health concern? The hole in the roof, would the city act on that then?
Yes.
Like if we've got raccoons or
yep.
other animals in the home, I mean, can that be verified through city staff?
I mean, right now there's not. There's
okay.
not an issue. But if there were, then yeah, then there would be, it would just, unfortunately, it would be added on
yeah.
to the list of the one thing that, you know, that they need to do minimum, so.
But as I stated last time, we have to be really careful because sit like this,
at risk.
2 years they'll come before us
as
a neglected tear
yeah.
down because
yep.
it's
mm-hmm.
unsafe. So we really
yeah.
want to be ahead of it.
And is anyone living in it? Do we
mm-hmm.
know? Is it us not occupied?
Well,
no,
maybe.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Not legally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it hasn't been for quite some time,
there
for a couple
some,
years.
There were some squatters in it
mm-hmm.
in the last 6 months.
Is the property owner local in town or are they out of state?
They are in town.
Okay.
Hmm.
This is where it's frustrating because
yeah.
you can't handcuff him, throw him in jail, make him make license plates. I mean, it's tough. We have another property like this right in the gate of Second Avenue, and I thought he was going to work on that. He came before us
yeah.
because his grandfather, his uncle died. Scoundrel or whatever.
Oh, Hal Soundrel House?
And I thought he was going to, I think,
so
we vote to let him take the garage off? Because it was so far gone, I thought that's
the one on 19th. So you never got that.
No, that so.
I know he came before us. It's the beard.
Yes, yeah. He ended up not purchasing the house.
Okay.
And so.
So he was here speculatively speaking. Just to
he was, I think, because of timeline, he was contemplating because the estate, you know, he had passed, and so those were with the estate. But it was bought. There's a different individual that's been doing work.
I've seen little teeny bits of stuff being done.
Mm-hmm. So can we just keep this on our rotating?
Yeah, so I've asked just internally to be notified what goes on with this
okay.
As it moves through the process, so then that way I can give you guys updates.
Does it qualify for any of the rehab programs that we could recommend to the owners? I know that's weird. But
at least for the roof?
Does qualify.
Yeah,
it's definitely an option for them.
It's already got notified.
Willing
it's
to
already
take
got, it already got the grant once for the paint job on summer when it came to Forest for the paint job. That was 2 owners ago.
What was it?
Same owners.
Same owner?
For the paint.
You painted it.
Bob
painted it. It doesn't make
the
sense.
Is,
so
like
I would recommend
it,
if you get on Zillow
asking for like
and type this address in, there's some pictures of the inside that
might scare you.
It's pretty
or interesting.
Looking.
Now, I peeked through the windows and all I could see was the living room and it looked beautiful. I mean,
and it, and obviously, I think the Zillow photos were 2018, so
mm-hmm. No, since
there
then.
Could have been changes
I mean,
since then.
It had a lot of work. It was plaster lath, plaster gone and lath, but as pocket doors, they all looked intact.
Mm-hmm.
And
so is it for sale
staircase?
So I checked the Monday before the last meeting with the Cedar Rapids Area Association of Realtors, and it is not listed by any realtor.
No, it's
so there's
by,
a big sign. Is that
owner?
Big sign still in the
yeah,
area?
Yeah,
is it
by,
a, by owner?
And then underneath it says
historic property,
historic
something.
Restoration opportunity
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
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 But they want a ridiculous amount of money for it.
Really?
They're in love with what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They sure do love their stuff.
Any other questions or discussions on that property? You'll keep us on the thing?
Yes. Yep.
So item number 5, anyone have anything for future agenda items? Got a slam dunk, wasn't it? Number 6, announcements.
Just wanted to give a brief update. The Historic Asset Inventory Committee met on Monday of this week. And so purpose of that meeting was just kind of remind individuals of the purpose of the committee. But then the big thing, which I thought was really good, was some progress that's been made. So the committee looked at, there's 500 plus properties on this list. Purpose of the list is to help figure out, focus on what are some strategies that can be applied to properties. And so the group, two members of Save Sierra Heritage, two members of Friends of Cedar Rapids Historic Preservation, and members of the HPC, focused on, I think it's 10 properties, but there is one that's, there's two that are multiple because of same owner. There were 3 updates made about those property owners being interested in local landmarking. So I think that's great.
Awesome.
Now we're just in that process of waiting for, you know, the paperwork to be submitted to us so we can initiate that process. But that was...
I'll add also, we just added the list to the website as well. So if you're curious, it's on the HPC website. Additionally, we made a handout for the group when they're going out to talk to people about local landmarking, about adaptive reuse. I put that on the website as well, so if any of you are having conversations with people, that's a good resource as well. It also talks about historic rehab program and some state, SHPO funding as well. So,
yeah. Can I add to some? So I have several friends that live in that Beaver Woods area, and one of them was like, I need to repair a bunch of the vinyl on my house before this happens. And I explained that the grant program to her, and she was like, oh, maybe I'll wait to do those. And I think there's people that just don't realize that that's kind of, this is going to be more expensive on my house, but there's also this program that exists.
Yeah.
So as you talk to people that live in that area, that are kind of, because a couple of the people that I talked to are a little like, whoa, wait, what is, and then when I explained more about what that means, they were.
Yeah.
Oh,
and we're
okay,
only surveying right now,
yeah,
so
yeah,
no
we're
commitments.
Little ways
right.
away from.
So definitely explain, we're not, you
yep.
know, landmarking anything yet, but definitely that first step is to find out the store significance
yeah.
through the survey, which was going on today and tomorrow. So.
I was also add to that I was going to talk to my dentist who owns the Beaver House. It's on the corner of Beaver and 34th to see if I could get him landmark it, and I haven't yelled at him yet, but he painted the blonde brick. Mm. That beautiful house, he's great. Kind of a great one. And I don't know what that does. Or local landmarking or national landmarking. It's just paint, but it's still brick.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful house. It was blonde brick. And you know which house it was? And now it's all It's gonna sound like this.
Oh, you should.
Do you want to wait until after the appointment before you do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has taste that's just impeccable.
Wow.
And why he did it, I don't know.
It's that education piece, I guess.
Man, you should have said something last time. Now.
I just drove by it. I was gonna call him. Remember, I suggested maybe making that a
mm-hmm.
local and national landmark since it's that was the only house in that area at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's painted brick. I don't mind painted brick, but there was nothing wrong with that blonde brick.
I suppose if it's significant for events or people and not architecture,
yeah,
then maybe it would
have to
still
go with
be.
Neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Any more announcements? No one's pregnant or going on vacation? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, number 7, certificate. Wait, CNMEO?
CNME.
So we did have one since the last meeting, 1723 Grand Ave Southeast, and this was re-roofing.
They're using asphalt shingles
yes.
on the roof, and this will be coming to you as a presentation. This is another historic rehab program recipient.
Very nice.
It's a very cute house.
Great. Number 8.
I move to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Oh.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I oppose. I'm going to stay longer.
Thank you.
Thank you.